And there'll be three main sets of ethical issues I want to talk about. One deals with some ethical issues relating to the negotiation process, what is said largely. Next, there's the no contact rule, which may have a whole new meaning in today's goings on, but this is that the rule that normally, if you are counsel, you're not supposed to talk to the other side if the other party is represented, that you can't go through to them directly. So that no contact rule, and then it's also some issues dealing with unauthorized practice of law that I want to point out to you because they could be an issue. More so probably if you're going outside of Texas, but Texas provides a lot of expertise because it's such a big oil and gas state to other states as far as Texas-trained lawyers, landmen, and so forth. So I do want to point out some issues there. So we'll start with negotiation ethics. And if you think about either the rules of professional conduct that govern lawyers or the ethics codes that apply to landmen, not as a matter of law, but through some of the major landmen organizations, each of those is going to impose a duty of honesty. And I don't think that very many landmen or oil and gas lawyers are going to just flat out lie, but there can be some issues kind of in the gray area of just what does this duty of honesty require. There can be issues related to, are you having to affirmatively correct errors of statements? Are you having to educate the other side? How far can you go with puffing and maybe sales talk? There can be issues there that I'll talk about some. And most of the principles of negotiations ethics that I'm going to deal with relate back to this duty of honesty. And I've got the page references in the paper. Now, those were done, I think, under a little different formatting. So the formatting of the paper, I think, now may be dual column. But that'll give you an idea of where to find the material that's on the slides about where to find it in the written paper. So if we're going to talk about the duty of honesty and how that's going to impact negotiation ethics and what you can say to the other side, I think it's worthwhile to start with what are the sources of the duty of honesty, because we're going to have to look back at the rules imposing a duty of honesty and maybe some of the interpretations of that to look into and define some of the gray areas and just what is going to be required under these duties and these rules. If we're talking about Texas, then under disciplinary rule 4.01, that's going to be one of the sources of a duty of honesty. And this rule applies to a lawyer who is representing a client in a matter. And 4.01 says that in the course of representing a client, a lawyer shall not knowingly make a false statement of material fact. So this is one of the principal sources of this duty of honesty. Now, if you happen to be going outside of Texas, that doesn't mean that this won't apply, because if you look now at the ABA model rule 4.1, which is the used, some version of it in a majority of states, it has a very similar, very similar not only in substance, but even in language rule, that in the course of representing a client, a lawyer shall not knowingly make a false statement of material fact or law to a third person. So this is not just the other side of negotiation. Anytime that you are representing a client as a lawyer, you cannot make false statements to other persons of material fact, whether it's a negotiation or litigation, whatever, a duty of honesty. In addition, if you look at Rule 8.04 in Texas, it says a lawyer shall not engage in conduct involving dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation. And this is not merely a duplication. Notice this does not say in the course of representing a client. And I think the main significance of 8.04 being in place when you already have Rule 4.01 is that this applies to you if you're a lawyer, no matter what you're doing. If you are not representing a client, but just negotiate on behalf of yourself. So not as a lawyer, but just as a person, you are bound by this if you're a lawyer. This is, you see, I've only included on the screen subparagraph 3, but this contains a listing of a number of things that a lawyer is prohibited from doing, period, if you're a lawyer, not just when you're acting as a lawyer. And some of the other things in this list are include the prohibitions that can get someone disbarred if they happen to be a lawyer and commit a crime, say, when they are not even acting as a lawyer in their private life. So the significance of this, again, is that even if you're not acting as a lawyer, if you're negotiating, say, an oil and gas lease on behalf of yourself, if you're working to take a lease on behalf of yourself, or if you're an officer of a company and you happen to be a lawyer that's licensed, or if you're a landman who happens to be a lawyer, but you're really working in a landman role, but you're a licensed lawyer, this rule is going to apply. And this is not something special to Texas. Again, we can look at the corresponding ABA model rule, and most states are going to have a rule that corresponds to this. You can see this same duty is there in the ABA model rules. If we're talking about landmen, in most states, there's no licensing requirement, there's no registration requirement, but a number of landmen are members of the American Association of Professional Landmen. That organization has a code of ethics, and that code of ethics in Section 1 imposes a duty to act in a fair and honest manner. Section 1 goes on to talk about a landman being obligated to conduct himself or herself with fairness and honesty. So fairness and honesty, more important, honesty in this context, is important enough it gets mentioned twice in Section 1. And you come back to it in Section 2 of the AAPL Code of Ethics, where there are rules of honesty and courtesy in competition that landmen are supposed to be aware of. The AAPL, in addition to having its model, its code of ethics, has standards of practice, and the standards of practice also talk about this duty of to be honest. So how does this duty relate to negotiations? Well, I think there are four principles that you can pull out of the duty and the cases and the ethics opinions that interpret this. One is that if you're a lawyer or landman, you can still engage in puffing or sales talk. That's the kind of exaggerations in negotiation that no one takes literally. If I'm the salesman and you come on the lot to buy a used car and I tell you about how this is the best car in the world, you don't take that literally. And there's a certain amount of jockeying in negotiations you can do about what your client or what you are willing to do and how far you're willing to go. You can still engage in that sort of talk, that puffing and sales talk, if you're negotiating on behalf of a client. But you've got to avoid falsehoods. And I'll have an example and maybe a slide or two that gives an example of where you might draw a line between puffing and actual falsehood. A third principle, generally, you do not have to educate the other side. So to the extent you know things that the other side of the negotiation does not know, you are not obligated in most cases to educate the other side. Though in certain unusual circumstances, you might have an affirmative duty to disclose information, but that's going to be unusual. So here's my slide where I talk about a distinction between puffing and what might rise to the level of being deemed a falsehood. And I think it gets in part down to whether a reasonable person might interpret what you're saying as being an actual statement of fact that is meant to be understood as a statement of fact. So if you say to the other side in a negotiation, look, you're never going to get a better deal than this. This is our highest offer. That's probably sales talk. That's probably puffing. But if you say something much more specific, something along the lines of that last bullet point such as the company's board of directors voted last Tuesday not to pay more than $1,000 per acre to acquire leases. Assuming that's not true, you've probably stated a falsehood. If you get that level of specificity and detail, that's starting to sound more like a statement that's meant to be taken literally than the mere puffing or sales talk.